Welcome to Off the Bench Summer Edition. All the big news and views from sport.
Hello, welcome to it. Another edition of Off the Bench, the show that stars, well, not starring, I think that's a little bit egotistical, Scotty Sattler.
He's such a big hunk of spunk.
And Jason Matthews here with Off the Bench. I'm never going to get sick of that, you know that. Welcome to the show. Big news this week in the world of rugby league. There's been lots going on. Rat's been a part of it. You've been a part of it. I've been a part of it. Julian King's been a part of it. Everyone's had a crack at this show this week, so welcome to it. The best bits from Sports Day throughout the week. Now, you and Rat caught up with Dally M medal winner and Knights captain Callum Ponga. Great chat, this.
Really good chat. This guy, when he first came into the league, and take the Cowboys out of it, because he made his debut in a final against the Broncos, I think it was. But then when he went down to Newcastle, he was still that free and easy kid that really didn't take rugby league that seriously. Admitted he doesn't actually watch a lot of rugby league. But as he's progressed through the years and obviously matured now to be not only a Dally M medal winner, but most importantly, the captain of his club, a much well-rounded, balanced young man. It's a really good chat, actually. He has a bit of a laugh at himself. But his responses now are, they're pretty on point when it comes to, you know, when it comes to where he's at in his career, in his life.
You and I caught up with Justin Holbrook, the Roosters assistant coach, the PNG national coach as well. We talked to him about a few things, PNG, rugby league, and also the Roosters as we head into the season. And the Melbourne Rebels have gone into voluntary administration. Rat and Julian King caught up with Rugby Australia CEO Phil Ward, his former teammate. We'll give you all the racing info for Queensland with Chris Nelson. But before we get into that, the dig segment, thanks to Sherlock Wheelbarrows, view the range at sherlocklastlonger.com.au. I'm having a dig at the Chiefs making the Super Bowl because it means more Taylor Swift.
I love Taylor
get
Swift.
Get out of my American football.
One of the biggest stars on the planet.
No, because now I've got the girls interested, and I just that was my.
That's exactly
thing.
What is so great about the NFL is that they've got these young viewers now. That's exactly what they need.
All right.
Apparently, $340 million she's bought to the Kansas City Chiefs in the NFL.
I'm digging that as well. From the job site to your backyard, lighten the load with Sherlock. Available at Bunnings Warehouse.
I'm digging Shamar Joseph. Like in a good way.
Oh, yeah.
West Indian fast bowler.
7 foot with a broken
5 foot nine.
Oh, incredible. Yeah. Rightio, to kick off the show this week, here's Callum Ponga.
Quick thinking. Fast on his feet too. Speaking of fast on his feet, Ponga is cutting them to ribbons. Now he takes Campbell on. Callum Ponga. What a game he is having. There's his best play.
Do you know what? There are some players in the game, Rat, over the years. Phil Blake, Brett Kenny. People that even if you don't watch or follow the club, they make you watch the game.
Oh, absolutely. Reece Walsh.
And this man is one of those. Of course, listening to the audio then, it's Callum Ponga, the Dally M medal winner from 2023 and also skipper of the Newcastle Knights, joins us on Sports Day. How are you, Callum?
Good, boys. Thanks for having me on.
No, thank you very much for – I know you're very much in demand, mate, because you are the face of that club and the NRL at the moment. So we're really appreciative of your time, but – before we get anything around the season, the summer, what does the summer hold for Callum Ponga? Like, what do you get up to when you're not training?
Off season was pretty good. We got to celebrate a couple of the boys' weddings and obviously got away from the game for a little bit and tried to get fit before pre-season because we only had like a three and a half week block before Christmas, which for a lot of our boys, we've never had that. So that was quite nice. But at the moment it's just, enjoying training hard. All the boys are fit. It's the best time of the year. I reckon there's no pressure on you. It's just working hard with your mates and, looking forward to playing some footy.
Well, we were talking to you off air about golf cause you know how much you love your golf, but what are you playing off at the moment? Are you getting out on the course that much?
I'm getting back into it now. I had last year off, playing golf, but I'm off six, so I was off 5 2 weeks ago.
Ooh.
So I'm getting worse, apparently. So
did you get a lesson?
It's good fun.
Did you get a lesson or something, and you're trying to incorporate something, or is what is it that's blowing you out?
A bit of rust from not playing for over a year, so that's what I'll blame it on. But it's good. We've got probably 8 to 10 boys that all sort of sitting around that 10 handicap, 10, yep. 11, 12. So it's good competitive fun, and there's a bit of money on the line every now and then, which is fun.
Nice. I'll tell you what, when I played and I played golf, it was the hardest time to play golf because you go to a training session and something's hurting. You rock up the next day, you try to have a game of golf, and you've got to change your swing to you've got a crook shoulder, or your wrist is a bit sore, or your ankle's sore. So, mate, I'll tell you, when you retire, and don't retire soon because we love watching you play footy, but when you retire, mate, I can see you off plus figures, mate, for sure. So, should be good. But we were talking about off-air an NRL golf tournament. If we had two representatives from each club and we put them together in a tournament, we think it'd be unreal. Who, if you were one of the members from Newcastle, who would you pick to take with you?
I'd probably take the one spot. We've got some keen. What's the format? If it's Stableford, I'd take probably Gags.
Yeah,
he can shoot. We were talking off air, but he can shoot 3 over for 18, or he can shoot 30. But
he's got the Greg Bird disease. Huh?
Yeah. So I'd take him. But off the stick, Riley Jones, young fella. He's off 7, I think. So
nice.
It just depends. It just depends on what day and
the form,
what we need.
Right.
Yeah, heard he hit some really well. Now nice. I'm looking across at my colleague here, Kaelin, and he's got that much ink on his body. Sometimes I don't think he knows what's actually on his body. But what happened over the summer? Did you get any new ones? Because did I see something? You got something on the back of your neck? Is that right?
Yeah, I'm pretty spontaneous with my tattoos. They're not very well thought out, which my mum probably don't like to hear. But I'll eventually get my back done. A lot of mine are just sort of spare of the moment, something that's relevant at that point in time, and don't really have much meaning at face value. But if you ask me what they mean, I'd probably say nothing. But they do mean stuff.
Oh, remember you got one.
I've got some ones that I'd take back. Definitely.
We've all got some of those, mate. We've all got some of those.
But they're on me for good now. So
I remember we interviewed you a while ago, and you said the two champagne glasses clinging together was represented you and Connor Watson drinking wine in COVID. Was that right?
Yeah, that was COVID period. Yeah, that's a pretty good memory.
That was
that period. I've got others from Connor that I'll take back, but I enjoy it. I like my tattoos. It's definitely it's on me for good.
It's a process, isn't it, Kaelin? It's like someone said to me, "Do they hurt?" I said, "Yeah, but if they didn't hurt, I wouldn't get them." It's the whole process of the design, it going on your body, and a little bit of pain, and
there's definitely something in that. They are addictive, but unfortunately, because of footy, I can only really get them in off season. So I try and cram a few in, which I think most of the footy boys do.
Mm. Now, did you watch Play School as a kid or not?
Oh, very, very. My memory of Play School is very faint, but I did watch it. Yes, and I always sort of, even growing up, and even getting older, when I was asked to do Play School, I thought it was quite I knew it would be a different experience, but kind of. Not prestigious, but something different for me and a pretty cool thing to do. Actors go on there, sort of, big people in, big social media people, or actors and whatnot. So I thought it was a bit of a different scene for me, but it was cool. It was different.
I loved it. I love it because connecting with that younger demographic, the NRL themselves should be sitting back and going, you know what, this is brilliant, actually. It's a great idea.
Did it come through the NRL, Kaelin, or did they approach you directly?
My manager. So I have a commercial manager.
Yeah.
He just put, like most things, he just put it to me, and I was a little bit like, am I actually doing it? Like, am I actually reading it, or what do they want me to do? Once I got there and sort of, I was nervous. I was extremely nervous, to be honest. It was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. But it was fun. It was good.
Was dealing with some of the kids on play school like dealing with some of your teammates in the dressing sheds?
It was more the acting side of it. So obviously I had Big Ted, Little Ted, and Morris, and you know they don't talk or anything. But I had to talk to them and had to, you know, like
yeah, right.
You know, like make conversation with them and be. It's all part of
the script.
I guess the play. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Being on it. But yeah, that was different for me. Obviously, the acting side of things and you know having to read a book in front of all these people, it was a little bit, and stare at the camera and read a teleprompter and whatnot. It was all different for me, but it was a good experience. I definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah, good work, mate. So, Gallium Player of the Year, mate, what does that do to you as a player? Does it build more confidence in you? Does it put more pressure on you? Have you forgotten about it and you're just worried about it this year now? Where are you after winning that award last year?
Yeah, it was obviously a special award and I haven't really been asked too much about it, but I guess the reason it's special for me, I felt like it was when I won the award, I feel like a lot of other people would have been proud to know that they had their hands on that award as well.
Mm.
In terms of like teammates, coaches, a lot of people at the club, family, friends, you know, I won the award, but I do feel like it's because of their hand on me throughout the year, preparing me for each game mentally and physically and just getting me right for every game. So I definitely think that a lot of people would have felt proud in that sense.
Hey, Kalen, Jack Cogger, I've always been a really big fan of his, watching him as a teenager. He always knew there was something special there. Now, he's been at the club before as a young man. He's still a young man now, but he's coming back as a far more mature player and, of course, a premiership ring as well. So, Coach Adam O'Brien, has he had him in one position in pre-season, or has he tried to use his versatility a little bit more?
It's been a good battle, to be honest, between Cogs, Jacko and Punter. I mean, Tyson Gamble, we call him Punter. but yeah, it's been a good battle between those three. It's been healthy. They're getting the best out of each other. Cogs, yeah, he was here the first time when I first got here, he was here. And he's definitely grown, I mean, as we all have. But, yeah, just his mindset towards the game, you can definitely see that he's been in a good system there at Penrith and you're probably the reason why he's won the chip. But, yeah, I think he's definitely carried that through here. He's rubbing off on the boys. And just his mentality, like, it's a winning mentality, really. Mm. And that's what we need in this club.
Well, you certainly got some depth in areas now based on, you know, I mean, you look at the injury to Jaden Brayley, and we want to ask you about Jaden Brayley in just a moment, but Phoenix Crossland came in last year and just did a wonderful job there in the nine jersey and really started to get better and better as the season went on. So when you look at, you know, Punter and you've got Jack Cogger and you've got Phoenix Crossland, is Jaden Brayley back training? Because he would, I would assume, go into that number nine jersey if he's fully fit.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Brails, it's been unfortunate what's happened to Brails over the years. And one thing about Brails is he's always been supportive and wanted what's best for the club, wanted what's best for the boys. And, you know, last year when he was out for so many games, it could have been easy for him to feel left out and that sort of rub off on the boys. But he definitely never indicated he felt that way. And definitely coming back, you can see that he wants to be a part of it. He wants to add to it, and he wants to win, which I think he deserves. But yeah, he works hard. He's one of the hardest working. He's consistent.
Now I remember some of the contracts over the years, Rat. I remember when I was out of Penrith. I think Matty Adamson was told he wasn't allowed to go snow skiing because he did his knee snow skiing once. Yeah, there's a lot of clauses put in contracts.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, are you allowed to ride your skateboard around Newcastle now that you're captain and Dally?
I'm not. And Adzi only lives down the road too, so I can't get around. In this suburb in one. I've got a bike too, and I'll wear my helmet. I do all the right things. Nah, I don't like skateboarding, snowboarding.
It's all out.
I think surfing's okay, but I can't surf. So, yeah, no, but it is. You do have to have in mind what the priority is and the risks with all that. So I've definitely given up on that sort of stuff.
We had a great year in 2023, the Knights. Of course, you guys wouldn't be happy with that. Out in week two to the New Zealand Warriors. And I've got no doubt it'll be a far more mature side in 2024. And you host the Raiders in round one on Thursday, March 7. Of course, that's the Thursday after Vegas. I really appreciate you coming on leading into the season. And I've got no doubt 2024 is going to be another big year for yourself. Thanks for joining us on Sports Day, mate.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thank you.
This is Off the Bench Summer Edition. We'll be back soon. Welcome back. This is Off the Bench Summer Edition.
Just 9 metres out from the try line.
Holbrook gets a try and debut. The halfback scoots over. Newcastle get try number one.
Jeez, we had to go back to the archives to dig that little beauty up, didn't we?
Oh, you know what? And I've spoken about this before. The Newcastle Knights, Joey was out one day and they played the Brisbane Broncos in front of 70,000 at Marathon Stadium. And our next guest put an absolute clinic on this day.
I mean, he did. And he's the PNG, well, incumbent.
National coach.
National coach. Yep. And he's also the assistant coach at the Roosters. No doubt we've interrupted him having a yak milk latte in Bondi somewhere. Mm. One of our favourites, Justin Holbrook. Welcome to Sports Day.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Justin. It's weird calling you Justin, but you've been in Sydney before with coaching roles. You're back there now with the family. You're settled in. Everything going okay?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, obviously we've lived here before we went to England, and it was a bit of a long transition. The family finished school, or the kids finished school, obviously up the Gold Coast, but all down here now and settled and looking forward to this season.
So your experience with the PNG side through the Pacific Championships, how'd you find that?
Mate, it was awesome. I obviously loved it. Finishing up with the Titans and not doing nothing for a couple of months, it was a great opportunity to get back into coaching. And obviously, as everyone talks about up in PNG, they are very fanatical about the game, and it just brought a lot of excitement back into me, you know, to go up there with the responsibility of being their national coach and having the Pacific test up there. I went up there first of all for their local Digicel Cup Grand Final. I'd never been before, so I wanted to get up there and get a bit of a lay of the land and see what it was like. And the game itself was a great experience. So obviously then a couple of weeks later up there for the PM's game against the Aussies, and that was fantastic. Obviously, you know, you saw when the Aussies arrived, they were like rock stars, and we put in a really good performance and had a couple of weeks off and then the Pacific Tests and were good enough to beat Fiji in the final. So it was a great experience. One I really enjoyed, you know, just hearing about the local players and obviously their tough upbringings and their limited rugby league and how late they are in age of playing. And, you know, it was very humbling and enjoyable. And I'm glad I did it.
Yeah, it's a massive privilege. Now, I've had mates that have been involved with the Fijian side, whether it's the men's or the women's. And coming from Australia, obviously, you got to go through some sort of they call it hazing in some countries, don't they? Where they basically just had to try some of the local delicacies. And in Fiji, of course, it's the kava, the drink. So with you, did you try the betel nut?
No, I didn't, mate. And the players, they call me a bit of a sook for not trying it, but jokingly. But no, I didn't try it. No, obviously it's pretty popular up there with the locals. But I didn't worry about that, chaps.
Hey, Justin, after having the experience of coaching the national side, if PNG gets that 18th licence, would you be putting your hand up, do you think, down the track to coach the first grade team?
I'm not too sure. I obviously loved, as I just said, I love coaching the Kummels and the national competition, against Fiji and the Cook Islands and the Australians. So I really enjoy that. As for if they're the new franchise, I'm not sure. You know, they'll have a process of their own if they get the nod and become the 18th team. So I'm not looking too far down the track with that. But I will say I hope they do get in. I think one thing they've got, a lot of sort of corporate backing up there. They're very well resourced up there with their land, and they've got some really sort of, well-off companies that would get right behind. And I think even when we played the games, the corporate areas were the ones that sold out instantly. And obviously then the general public, you know, they obviously don't earn a lot of money up there. But in terms of the top end, there's some good financial backing behind them. And obviously, as you all know, the Australian government will help out there. So I think I'd love to see them get in. I think there's enough players up there that they can make a real force of it. They've got to be out. There's probably 10 or 11 now over in Super League next season. So, there's enough talent there that in a couple of years' time, they'd be ready to be. And I think it'd be great for the game, as I said, to witness it up there briefly and just see how passionate they are. And that's only in the capital there of Port Moresby. They reckon up in the Highlands, it's just even more crazier for rugby league. And we didn't have time to get up and visit up there. So, I hope they do get in. But as for sticking me in, I'll just wait and see what happens down the track.
Imagine being a referee that referees a game if they did get in the NRL and you gave them a decision that lost them the game. I wonder if they'd let you back through customs. There's no way in the world they let you out of the country.
Well, it's quite funny because they make sure one thing I wouldn't say I didn't like, but they make sure the visiting teams are really well looked after. Like we had some great dinners when Fiji and the Cook Islands and put on a big show. I'm also saying the opposite. I was saying, like you said, no, just put them in the local rough hotel and give them a rough, But the fan, they're lovely people there. They really embrace it. You would have seen like Mike Acevo and guys like that, they were just like gods up there, even though they're from Fiji. And I'm thinking, hang on, we're playing these blokes. Don't be so nice to them. But hopefully if they get in, it'd be nice if the referees were a bit biased towards them. Be good.
One of my favourite nightclubs is over there, the La Mana Hotel. It's amazing.
You've got a favourite. For a bloke who doesn't drink, you've got a favourite nightclub everywhere. Well, you are the most boring person I know.
I love to dance. Now, you're back at the Roosters, Justin, and you've worked with Trent Robinson before. But now you've gone away, you've experienced head coaching in the UK and also at the Titans, and you come back under Trent Robinson again. As an experience as a coach is what he is, do you still see a guy like him evolving in different parts of the game since you've returned? Like, is there any noticeable nuances in his coaching?
Oh, definitely. Trent's someone that's always looking to get better. And, his work ethic and all that's still the same. He's very detailed. As you mentioned, I've been there before. So my first time around, I've sort of said previously, I was grateful for the opportunity to work at the Roosters. And now coming back there, I feel it's in a different space. Like Trent's obviously, needs a bit more help there. And, they haven't had the best of years for their standards, the Roosters. So in terms of my experience going out, as you mentioned, England and Gold Coast, I feel like I've come back a better coach for the Roosters and I'll do my role there. But Trent's always looking at ways of getting better and, learning and things like that. So asks a lot of questions and gets a lot of opinions from the rest of his staff. But in the end, he's obviously a great leader and has been for a long time.
Now, Justin, we were looking at the predicted round one game, team for the Roosters. And let's just throw Jared Waerea-Hargreaves in there for argument's sake.
But he's not playing.
Yeah, no, when it comes to round two, round three, whatever. It is one of the most impressive sides on paper. We were talking about earlier on. And one of the noticeable differences, of course, is you've got Joseph Suoli on one wing, potentially, and then Dom Young on the other, coming from Newcastle. I mean, he's been a great inclusion. What's he like up front as an athlete?
Yeah, you'd love him, Sats. He's a great specimen. He's a big, good-looking man. He's if it was a thoroughbred, you'd pay millions of dollars for him. So, look, Dom's, he's just got that physique that he's blessed with as well as electrifying speed. So, and as you said, Joseph Suoli, he's an absolute athlete as well. The guys can, they can jump so well. And obviously, Toops has been doing it for 10 or 12 years. So we're blessed with athleticism in the outside backs, that's for sure. And obviously, it's for myself really enjoyable to see guys sort of run around and do what they do. It's going to be an exciting year for us at the Roosters. And obviously the other sort of new recruit, Spencer Lenu, like he's so powerful. You just sort of watch him at training and, he's really impressive. So, look, every side's, we all know that. Everyone's happy with preseason. They've always trained hard and prepared well. But, I'm really excited about this year.
Yeah, I reckon Spencer is probably one of the buyers of the off-season. I think he's an outstanding get. He was amazing in that grand final. Sats is pushing it all week and last week that Waria Hargraves should be playing in the game in Vegas, which is just absolute rubbish, Justin. He shouldn't be. He's got to serve his suspension.
No,
you do your crime.
Give him a fine.
You do the time. He just wants him to be given a fine. Will you still take him to Vegas, or is he moping around the club like he's going to miss out?
No, well, I hope Sats gets his way. I think we'll get Sats a job at the NRL as well, so we can get Jarrod playing round one. But no, he's still going to come over. He'll be still part of the
security.
You know, I think we're taking. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he'll be security for us. But yeah, he's part of the travelling squad that we're taking over. Look, he's a great leader, as you guys know. He's been playing a long time now, and he's got a lot of respect from all the staff and players. So to have a guy like that with his experience on that trip will be great for us. So he'll be there.
After the game, Justin, how long till you come home? Do you, 'cause you get the weekend off the following week, which is the rest of the round one competition. So do you stay over a couple of days, or have they got you on a plane pretty much within 24 hours?
Yeah, we come home the next day. So we have plenty of time over there. I think we have 10 days in total. So we're going well before, which is great. I think we're based in LA for about a week and train the majority of the time there, then get to Vegas just for a couple of days. So yeah, only the one night after the game set. So I've already, I've played the pokies for about 30 years. I plan on going in there just hoping there's a big link at the top that says 20 million or something. I'm just lucky enough to play one line, one credit and win the major link or something. So after a win, of course.
Yes, you win some and you lose more. I just want to add one other thing. Are you sharing the plane with the other teams?
I'm not too sure what flights they're on. I know I'm pretty sure we're all in a sort of same area once we get to Vegas, but I'm not too sure with the other three sides. I don't think they're all going directly the same time as us, no, and I don't think we're all staying in the same area until a few days out at Vegas.
Who gets the business class seats, Titsy? Who gets them?
No, I don't think I do, unfortunately. But
you've only got little legs. You don't need the extra space.
Right. No, that's right. I don't complain. I'm just happy to be going. I'm pretty excited to be on the trip. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure the players do and they need it. Yeah, so they'll get looked after. And, yeah, just happy to get over there. Oh, look, I think it's great for the game. I just think even if you're back here, just something much more exciting about round one when it's somewhere like that. So, you know, we're fortunate enough to be a part of it. But even if we weren't, you know, a lot of people have asked me, oh, what's the point here? You know, and I think it's terrific. I think it's a great spark for our NRL season. And as a code, I think it's pretty exciting. And I think after the Super Bowl too, it'll ramp up over there. Like a lot of people,
true, yeah.
It'll be quiet over there. I thought, well, they're their major games about their Super Bowl. I think after that, it'd be like when our rugby league season finishes and you turn the telly on the next weekend, you're bored straight away. You go, isn't that footy on? So I think once that happens over there, hopefully they go, you know what, we'll go and watch these mad Australians hash each other with no pads and helmet on. So hopefully it can really ramp up then.
All right, mate. Good luck with it. Can you believe it's only 4 weeks to go until the footy season kicks off? How exciting, mate. Good luck with that trip to Vegas. And I look forward to my Mighty Bunnies taking on the Roosters in round three of the NRL. That'll be exciting.
Absolutely.
Hey, we'll let you go. Justin, thanks for your time tonight on Sports Day, mate.
Thanks, boys. See you later.
This is Off the Bench Summer Edition. We'll be back soon. Welcome back. This is Off the Bench Summer Edition.
Well, there's plenty on the plate of our next guest. We've moved on from the World Cup failure and the short-lived second coming of Eddie Jones. A new Wallabies coach has been appointed in New Zealand to Joe Schmidt, and now he faces financial headwinds. The next broadcast rights deal is crucial. Phil Waugh is the CEO of Rugby Australia. Pleased to say he's on the line right now. Phil, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Well, news came through that the Melbourne Rebels, Phil, entered voluntary administration. What can you tell us currently about their predicament? Will we see them in this upcoming Super Rugby competition? And then what about beyond that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think we're committed to delivering the 24 Super Rugby season, and it's only a few weeks away. So, we're working with the Melbourne Rebels and also with the administrator, PwC. So, working closely with them to solve for some of the challenges. Still very early days, but you know, certainly the team have been training for some time, so looking forward to getting them on the field.
Mate, you've come out of the banking sector. It's like you've jumped out of the frying pan into the fire, jumping into this rugby CEO role. You're 6 months in. Has it been everything that you've expected?
Oh, look, it certainly hasn't been without its challenges, but I think looking forward to the arrival of Joe Schmidt and got new director of high performance Peter Horn, David Nisifora, who implemented the Irish system that's done so well over the last period of time. So hopefully we're putting the right people in the right positions and we can turn things around. But we certainly know that it's not going to be easy. We've got a lot of hard work to do, but a big part of that, and you've played enough to play with enough people that. If you put the right people in the right positions and you work hard enough as a team, then hopefully things come together quicker than what everyone expects. But we know it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, mate. It's certainly, like you said, not been without its challenges, mate. Now, I know Rugby Australia's TV deal is based on five Australian teams playing in the Super Rugby Pacific, but I've always been of this opinion: is more better. I mean, I sometimes wonder if we haven't spread our talent too thin. Lacking the competition at the provincial level, if Melbourne can't rectify their situation, their financial situation, do you think it'd be so bad if we just had four teams and sort of, I guess, tighten up that competition at that provincial level, give us stronger teams and hence maybe a little bit more confidence when we put our Wallabies together?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a debate for some time. Obviously, Super Rugby started with New Zealand with just five teams, and there have been five teams since 1996. So, we've seen that consistency and certainly not a dilution of talent within the New Zealand provinces, and they've had great success over that time. We've gone from three to four to five, back to four, back to five, and certainly something that we need to review. And as you said, I think it's around delivery of Super Rugby Pacific, and with the inclusion of Moana Pacifica and Fiji and Drua, and discussions around further expansion. What does the makeup of Super Rugby Pacific look like? So I think right now a lot of uncertainty within the current environment in Melbourne, which we're working through with the Rebels, but. Now, most importantly, I think when you look at the most successful teams in the world, you look at Ireland, it's all about, the teams in green succeeding. You look at New Zealand, it's all about the teams in black succeeding. And, certainly having that pathway to the teams in gold, being as best as we possibly can be and world-class again is our focus. And, I think it's about us coming together and coming together as a system, coming together across member unions, Super Rugby clubs to get the right structure that's going to drive success in gold jerseys.
Well, you've got to look at all the possibilities here. Worst case scenario, if the Rebels disappear, does that jeopardise Rugby Australia's relationship with the Victorian government and potentially their reported, $50 million offer to host a World Cup final? Can we look that far down the track?
Oh, I think it's too early to talk about that, but... we've got a really strong relationship with the Victorian government, and as we know, Melbourne hosts international events as well as any other city in the world. So, the relationship there, and hopefully, the Victorian government's appetite for big events and major events, we'll work through over the next period of time. It was only 6 months ago that we had 84,000 people at the MCG for the first Blues Day. So, we can certainly get a good crowd in Melbourne at the MCG. At Marvel Stadium and Amy Park. We play against Wales in the second test against Wales at Amy Park this year in July. So, we've got a good relationship and big events and big test matches in the Melbourne region. It's really important to us.
Yeah, that's right. It certainly does. They do love their sport down there, Warrie. Now, mate, I did want to congratulate you on the appointment of Joe Schmidt. Looking at his resume, it certainly seems like he's the guy to lead the Wallabies out of the doldrums. What was it that the board saw in Joe Schmidt and in him gaining his appointment?
Yeah, well, I think you look at his track record. He spent time in France at Clermont-Montferrand, did particularly well there. Then he went to Leinster and won European Championships. Then went and coached Ireland for 6 years and had three Six Nations Championships. Went from there back to New Zealand to Auckland, where they won 15 games straight with the Blues, and then he jumped into the All Black environment that was probably going downwards a little bit at the time of him joining the All Blacks, and they turned around and lost the final by a point So his track record's particularly good. And if you think about the coaching environment, and again, you've seen this enough, it's about the team they put around them and creating an environment and culture that the best assistant coaches want to be a part of it. And he's got a track record of doing that as well. So it's really exciting to have a coach of his experience and that international experience, because coaching Super Rugby is very different to coaching at Test level, and he's had enormous experience and success at Test level.
It is a sound appointment. Just more broadly, everyone wants a successful Wallabies team, Phil. Is there a mentality in Rugby Australia that you adopt almost a trickle-down effect, like it starts with the success of the Wallabies and then that success will filter its way down to Super Rugby and even a club rugby level, just through memberships and attendance and general interest in the game?
Yeah, look, it's sort of, which way does it start? Look, I like to think about the game starts, in juniors and in the community. And I think one of the biggest challenges we've had is actually is reconnecting the professional game with the amateur game. And I think there's been a bigger and bigger gap every year between the community and the professional game. So a big challenge for us is actually how do we reconnect and connect. So most importantly, is the community game and grassroots and the local rugby clubs. But certainly in terms of driving revenue, 80 to 85% of revenue comes from the men's 15-a-side team. It's really important that team's succeeding so you can actually fund the rest of the game. So it's not a simple solution, but we certainly need to get the Wallabies back up to where the team once was, because that drives a lot of interest, a lot of revenue, and allows us to fund more and more into the community. But being a Narrabeen Tiger when I was four, and still on the sidelines of junior rugby clubs today, I still think that the game is ultimately owned and run by the community, and it's really important that we keep investing into the community.
Love the area, mate. I'm sure you own half an Narrabeen by now, but on the Joe Schmidt appointment, obviously you had great success in Ireland from 2013 to 19, three Six Nations, won a Grand Slam. I mean, there must be plenty of optimism with them in Rugby Australia with this appointment. Have you set some realistic expectations around what you expect? What would you like to see before the British Lions tour in 2025? I mean, where is Rugby Australia at in that regard? I mean, I'm sure you can't expect, you're not thinking we're going to come out and be undefeated until the Lions get here. But what's something that we can look forward to in terms of sort of some realistic expectations from this side?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of, you look at what he's set up, and Andy Farrell's taken over, and Andy Farrell came through under Joe Schmidt, and the team kept succeeding under Andy now, and what a great matchup when you got Andy Farrell coaching the Lions, and Joe Schmidt will be coaching the Wallabies. So it's an awesome matchup. In terms of we've got to be patient. I think we've probably gone for quick fixes and change the coach, and things will change. But we've got a lot of work to do in terms of building depth across the system. If you look at the athletes, if you get the right coaching team around, build the right culture, get the right selections, and the team weren't too far off only 12 months ago. So it can be pretty optimistic. You can't forget also we almost beat the All Blacks in Dunedin less than 6 months ago as well. So the team's got certainly got the ability. It's about bringing the team together into the right culture, and winning's a habit, losing's a habit. Unfortunately, at the moment you're probably on the wrong side of that bar, but I'm certainly very optimistic without over promising, because we know we've got a lot of work to do. But get the right culture and get the right selections and keep players on the field, and I think things can turn hopefully reasonably quickly.
And just lastly, Warrie, confirm or deny Joe Schmidt not a cattle prod user?
Mate, it's sheep in New Zealand, isn't it?
yeah, that's true.
Plenty of challenges ahead for the sport of rugby in this country. Phil Waugh, appreciate your time on the program today.
Thanks, guys.
Time for a racing update for Racing Queensland. Racing action continues every day across the Sunshine State. Check out racingqueensland.com.au for where Queensland is racing today.
Yeah, chances are you're about to lose Chris Nilsson. I'll ask you, Scotty Sattler, how's his form been whilst I've been away?
Terrible last week, but it's all right. We have those days. Outside of that, he's actually had some really good winners, really good tips.
Really?
Yeah, cop that.
Absolutely.
Cop that.
Yeah.
The first word, can I just remind you, the first word out of his mouth was terrible.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, but he's only, he can't see past last Saturday. He forgets about last week. He's just thinking about last Saturday. So, and that's fair enough. It was a tough day. I think we had 6 odds on favourites beaten or something last Saturday. So it wasn't the best of days for... It was a good day for bookies, put it that way.
Well, I was telling Sats last night, on air, I was in a bar in Bali and they had like a bookmaker set up. And I'm going, how good's this? it's like the wild, wild west. Mm-hmm. Anyway, mate, where are we racing this weekend?
We are racing at Eagle Farm. That is our main meeting. And pleased to say the weather's all cleared up and we'll be back to a good track at Eagle Farm on Saturday. We've got another couple of meetings around the place. Ipswich is another Saturday meeting. We race at Bundaberg on the sand. That's a tab meeting on Saturday. 6 races there at Bundy. And pleased to announce that Toowoomba is back after 4 weeks renovation to the track after the King of the Mountain. So Saturday nights are all back to normal again. Toowoomba racing in the Twilight Zone. So they're the tab meetings. Mm-hmm. We've also got meetings at Dalby, Emerald and Innisfail. And we return to the Sunshine Coast on Sunday afternoon for a 7 racer, I think it is there. So we've had we've had sort of a low amount of meetings over the last few weeks, but we're getting back to normal now.
Were there any of the meets up in North Queensland that were interrupted last week that were scheduled?
No, we got through them all. We got through them all okay, Sats. Yeah, we had a meeting at Cairns, but Cairns didn't really cop too much on Sunday, and then we had some earlier in the week that didn't affect those areas. So the only meeting that was affected was Doomben, which was transferred from Wednesday to Thursday. This week. So all the others sort of escaped. But, yeah, there's plenty of rain around in certain areas, wasn't there?
Yeah, absolutely.
You didn't get any down your way.
Oh, we got plenty. What are you talking about?
Yeah, what's
not
wrong with you?
Plenty.
You don't get
on Tuesday.
You don't get it on your cliff face joint at Coolum Beach on the Sunshine Coast.
Overlooking a golf course.
Well, it said 1 mil down your way. That doesn't seem like a lot.
Yeah. 1 metre. What are we putting our money on this weekend?
All right, Eagle Farm. I think these will run really well. Race 5, number 2, Captain Finkel. I didn't hear that. I'll pretend I didn't hear that. Race 5, number 2, Captain Finkel. Yep. Race 6, number 13, Lennox.
Oh, favourite number.
And
Taylor Swift's favourite number too.
What?
13. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And race 8, number 9, Belvedere Boys. We'll back that one each way. So 5, number 2, 6, number 13, and 8, number 9.
Beautiful.
Rightio. Okay.
And we're in for a big day.
Oh, mate, I hope we are. Chances are, though, you are about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. I like to reinforce that around any tips that Chris Nelson gives.
Lennox.
If we do have a big day, I'll be the first to remind you come Monday.
Oh, no doubt about it.
So how are we rating?
If not Saturday night.
For that race 6, number 13, Lennox.
Yeah. Yes.
So tell us about Boris Thornton. S. Morrissey, the trainer.
Scott Morrissey, he trains down on the Gold Coast. Yeah, trains on the Gold Coast.
Former Prime Minister? No,
that's Morrison.
No.
That's your mate.
That's Morrison. That's right.
I've told you that story.
He's, no relation at all. But he trains very well. He doesn't have a big team, but the team that he's got, he gets a lot out of them. And he's got a nice mare there in Lennox who should be winning.
Good stuff.
Rightio. Check out racingqueensland.com.au for where Queensland is racing today. Thanks, Nelson.
Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.